Welcome back to Talking Baseball on KMBR, the sports leader. My guest today was so good in center field at Wrigley Field, the fans used to call him the Deer. He was a Gold Glove winner in 1984. Let's bring in Bob Dernier today. How you doing today, Bob?
Hey, good morning, Bill. Good to hear from you.
Nice to talk to you today. The Cubs came in here just playing really well in San Francisco. They were 20-7, winners of 9 out of 10, and I think they hit a little hurdle as they walked into Oracle Park, losers the last two games. What did you see so far out of the Cubs the last couple games?
Well, you know, I think everybody that's, you know, paying some attention to them could see that in the beginning of the year, the expectations weren't really huge. I don't think they were it wouldn't have been out of line to say, well, maybe come around the trading deadline, they'd be looking to move a guy like Chris Bryant or who knows who may be on that thought line. But now you look at it a lot different, of course, and once a team sort of, you know, surprises everybody, which you and I know is not altogether unusual. That happens sort of every year. And this year, I think the Cubs are one of those few teams that most people didn't see coming.
Yeah, and I think just watching the last couple games, the starting pitching, there's no doubt Arrieta isn't throwing like he used to when he won the Cy Young. Davies came in throwing a lot of off-speed, and we've seen. But I think the bullpen is what's been out doing lights out for the Cubs. In your explanation here with the Cubs, I think no one saw the Cubs' bullpen being so strong. Your ideas on why they've become such a threat?
Yeah, and I'm sure, you know Jed and the fellows there saw, you know, probably at the beginning of the season that we're not running a bunch of power arms at you in the starting rotation, certainly, but they've managed to, you know, what usually takes maybe even a half a season to sort of figure out your bullpen. They seem to, you know, have taken a shot with a couple of young guys and they've put together a nice pen. And Nance in particular has been a good surprise of sort. Kimbrel doing what Kimbrel's been doing most of his career, and you know, everyone else chiming right in. They've got Chavin the lefty doing a nice job as well. And you and I both know, Bill, that, you know, it's always about the pitching, and certainly in today's game, more so than when you were pitching, the starters, you know, they're built for five or six, and then they turn it over.
Bob Dernier is my guest on Talking Baseball. Bob, you know, we look at stolen bases. You had over 200 stolen bases in your career. I was looking this up last night. The Cubs have 34. The Giants have 24. The Padres are way ahead with 60. Kansas City's got 42 in the American League. But then I look at some of the teams that aren't stealing. The Yankees only have 13. The Reds only have 13. And the Astros, of all teams, have 14. Why is it so many teams don't try to advance runners when they get on first?
Well, you and I both know, you know, stealing bases, it's a dirty job, Bill. Not everybody really wants to do it, number one. Number two, it's not that easy, and especially in today's game, I think, you know, with the pitchers, you know, they're well aware of that part of the game if it's a threat, and with the slide step and catchers, the way they throw today, and some guys like Hobby, you know, the magic man down there tagging you, it's not an easy task. And one thing they don't like, I know, is making outs on the bases. None of us ever like to do that. But as a stolen base guy, I can tell you, you know, a guy with the green light to go when I felt like it or got my jump really was what that meant. And today I think the special, you know, that special part of the game is just not there anymore like it was, say, in the 80s. But the advantage the team gains by having that threat, I can tell you, any great hitter will tell you, Sandberg and George Brett and some of the guys I've heard over the years talk about having the speed in front of you, the threat, was enough to get me a lot of good pitches to hit. So I like that thinking, and I think some of that's coming back even today.
Well, in 1984, in a National East Division Championship round, Harry Carey called you and Ryan Sandberg the daily double because you guys were just so solid at the top of the lineup. You would get on base, he'd drive you in, and at times you double stole. I mean, there were so many things that got the Cubs going in 1984. When I look at this team this year, Bryant's up at the top. Peterson, of course, led off the other night. Contreras, they're trying different people to get on base in that leadoff spot and the second spot to have Rizzo and Baez drive them in. Do you see comparisons with this team when you start looking at what Harry Carey called you, the daily double? Is there something that could be transparent with this team?
Well, for me, a common denominator, and this wasn't unusual in the league when you and I were playing against each other, the top three guys in the lineup, generally speaking, usually could run well because they're going to score a lot of runs, and you want guys in the 4, 5, and 6 spot who are hitting those three-run doubles, and you got guys scoring from, you know, from all stations. And we had, at that time, me and Rhino were still fairly young, and Gary Matthews wasn't beyond his years. He was an older player, but he could run. And so could Bull Durham and the four spot even. And so, you know, we had Moreland and Jody Davis and Ron Say, who weren't known for speed, but they drive you in. So the style of play is kind of what you're alluding to there. And I, generally speaking, I think that part of the game's remained alive and well. Anthony Rizzo is a great player, but, you know, he's not designed to base run. He's smart, like Pujols, but not fast. So, you know, those teams that develop that sort of style I like, and I think that's why a team like San Diego is interesting.
You know, one of the players that are really playing so well at Bryant's playing right field is he's right from here. He went to St. Mary's College, and that's Patrick Wisdom, hitting over 400. Yeah. Doesn't have a lot of at-bats, but he goes up there and takes his hacks. Boy, I tell you what, anybody to move Bryant out of third base, the Cubs definitely have some faith in him. What have you seen so far from him?
Yeah, well, he's in that, you know, proverbial contract year, and you know, I think he just wants to really sort of feel that appreciation in some sort of way. There's been a lot of, you know, kind of ticky-tack controversial with his contract early on. There's been a lot of yak, and he had a slow last couple of years, you could say, kind of fell off the radar. But he served notice, Bill. I think he's a great player, and whoever lands him, whether it's the Cubs or another team, is going to get a quality player, quality person, seems to me. Another guy that comes to mind in that vein, older now, but I've been appreciating this, and I want to say before we part ways, but I hope you all appreciate that Brandon Crawford. That young man is one of the best players in the league and has been for years, and I've really enjoyed watching him from afar.
He sure has, and at 34 years old, he looks like he's playing like he's 21. The grabs and the bare hands and some of the catches, Bob, and we can get into a little defense when the ball isn't right in the palm of your glove and he's got to adjust and make that throw. It's not as easy as everybody thinks, and for him to do it in that split second, your reaction time as an outfielder, too, when you played center field. Tell us a little bit about the defense that you're seeing out of Crawford.
You know, that's, and there it is. See, I think what I notice or what I always like to watch is that reaction ability that these young guys have and some of the plays. That's why I always looked at it like I thought we were a little bit better than the guys, some of them overall that we had watched play ahead, before us and after us. I thought we were as good as, or maybe not as good as in some cases. And in today's game, I think these guys make more often great plays than anything I've ever seen.
Well, I tell you what, Javi Baez over there with Rizzo at first, there's some good defense on the Cubs side. When you look at the outfield, Bob, with all the shifts and all the different things they're doing, is it difficult, do you think, now playing under these shifts, or was it easier when you were man in center field where you could literally watch the pitchers approach the hitters and make different changes by yourself?
Yeah, that certainly came into play, no doubt. You can feel an at-bat as it develops and, you know, how a guy's swinging the bat and if he's anticipating a certain – if he's fouling off fastballs to the opposite field, you know, foul, then you're going to go with that trend. But I think more importantly, Bill, the shocking part for me at times is we used to look at it like this. I'm going to make you shift. You're not going to shift on me. So I would, in other words, they would take the bunt away from me, for example, at third base. So now I'd rocket singles and doubles by the third baseman. and in the six hole, uh-huh. and catch doubles and singles, because they had to take away and honor that threat of the bunt. So, and the same thing even on the right side, they'd have to, because I might go that way with one and then beat the pitcher to the base. So all that sort of psychology, I think, and then be able to drop balls on the right field line and drop balls on the left field line. And now they have to honor you sort of straight away. So the hitter will dictate sort of what happens to him. The fate of the shift will fall upon him however he chooses.
Well, looking forward to game number 3 this afternoon. Your final comments. Do the Cubs have anything for our boy Gausman? Because I tell you what, pitcher of the month last month of May, he has been on fire. Tell me your approach against Kevin Gausman if you were going up to bat against him today.
Yeah, your pitching's been outstanding out there all year so far. So, you know, like any of those kind of guys, I think the approach was Rhino and I were on deck talking about we better get him early and as often as we can. And that's always a good approach off good pitching. And before they settle in, you know, next thing you know, you might be looking up and Bill Lasky's got 7 innings with 3 hits, no walks. And this game's an hour, you know, 10 minutes old. He's moving. So you got to get him early. And the Cubs are right now, they're getting out hit too. So we'll enjoy the rest of this series.
Well, Bob, you and I enjoyed battling each other all the way back in AA and AAA when you were the Phillies and I was with the Royals. And sure enough, we faced each other when you were the Cubs and I was with the Giants. But it was always a great battle and we always had fun. And it's always great to have a good friendship after the game. And I appreciate your time today. And like always, my friend, you take care.
You bet. Pleasure. Enjoyed it.
Thanks. That's Bob Dernier from the Chicago Cubs. He's an ambassador of the Cubs. He was a first base coach with the Cubs. And let me tell you, the guy could play some center field. All right, we'll be right back on Talkin' Baseball on KNBR 104.5 680, the sports leader. We'll be right back.